Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Good to see all of you. Let's go in the Word of God this morning to the book of Proverbs, chapter 16 and verse 3. And I really have felt that this was something the Lord wanted me to minister on this morning. And if I can only reach one person this morning, I will feel as though I have accomplished what the Lord wanted me to do here today. But I don't say that so that the rest of you can tune out this morning. Amen. We need your help, and we're just in that season right now. But if you'll open your ears this morning and just let the Lord speak to your heart, great things can come out of your life. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 3. Commit. Everybody said commit. Commit thy works. Everybody said works. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Praise God. Praise God. We can't be those that are tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, as Scripture says. But we've got to understand what it means to live for God and to walk with the Lord. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated this morning. Amen. When we get into this here today, the word commit, I looked at it from the Hebrew definition of the word commit here in Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 3, and I had to think about it for just a little bit. And had to mull over in my mind exactly what it was trying to say and what the Lord was trying to, or what he meant here when he said, commit thy works unto the Lord. And the reason is because that word commit right here means to send to or upon or to throw or to put or lay upon. And, of course, it also has a connotation of trust, that we trust the Lord. And but I got to thinking about that, to send to or to send upon or to throw upon or to put upon or to lay upon. And it made me think of a blanket. Amen. Made me think of something that you would cover something with. You know, when you ladies make fresh bread, you put it in a basket and you cover it with something. And we all understand what a covering is. And when it says, commit thy works unto the Lord, he's literally saying, cover your works. Amen. Cover your works that you do for the Lord or to the Lord. Because when we look at this in light of the blessings of the Lord, you'll see that it will become crystal clear that is a commitment is something that we lay over things. Amen. I want to work on that for just a minute, because if you make a commitment in your life, I want to become a millionaire, or I want to become rich and famous, what you are actually doing there is you are covering your life with that. And that's the covering of your life. That's the theme of your life. That's the very thing that you are pushing and prodding and going forward for. If you were to make a commitment today for wealth, for material possessions, or anything that we could think of going into business, whatever you want to plug in there, you are covering your life with that. That is the covering that you have chosen or you have committed to. You have put in motion that you have for a personal goal in your life or a dream or an ambition. Here in America, that's the big thing, you know. You're going to be happy if you have this, that, or the other. And so you need to cover your life with this, what we call the American dream. And yet there are many in America that that are unhappy and don't have what many others have, and very much frustration is in our country today. And I wonder this morning, when we think about this life, we've got to go beyond that. If you're a wise man, if you're a wise woman this morning, you've got to think beyond today. Amen. You've got to think beyond what is going on in your life today and take a step further. My pastor, I've kind of been quoting him a little bit lately, but he was talking about the universe. He was talking about space, and he said, how far does it go? And when you get there, is there a wall? And what's on the other side of that wall? And it goes on and on and on. It's really something that none of us can really comprehend, because it has been established that space is infinite. Amen. There is no ending to it. It is infinite and goes on and on. And the reason it is that way is because God created space. Amen. God created the universe. God created our solar system. God created the earth. God created you and me here this morning, and we're here by divine ordinance of God. And so when you think about that, you have to ask the question, if I become rich and famous, is that going to help me in eternity? And of course, we know that the answer to that is no, because there's nothing in this life, nothing physical, nothing emotional, nothing that that we could have or gain in this life is going to go with us into eternity. We will all go into eternity by ourselves. And somebody help me here this morning. I got to thinking, will money help me in eternity? And of course, the answer is no. It's not going to help me, because the money that I have is going to be left behind for somebody else to spend. And will the fame and fortune help me in eternity? I don't think that Hollywood's going to be in heaven, praise God. It's not going to be some situation of stars and all of that. But I believe that there's one area that we can look at where it will extend to eternity, and that is our commitment. Amen. Our commitments that we make. It becomes really like the scripture, and I've always liked and enjoyed this scripture, that talks about falling short and striving to gain, but you can't gain. And it's in Isaiah chapter 28 and verse 20, it's really kind of comical in a way, but it's true and serious in another way. Isaiah 28 and verse 20, "For the bed is shorter than a man can stretch himself on it, and the covering narrower than he can wrap himself in it." Praise God. Anybody ever been there? Have you ever been there? You wanted to get a cheap hotel, didn't want to spend very much money, and the bed was short, and you thought maybe somebody had short-sheeted the bed, and it's thin, and it's not wide enough to wrap yourself in, and you want to cover your top part, and your feet stick out. And so you try to cover your feet, and the top is exposed and cold. Amen. And bed bugs in the bed. I could really work on this here a little bit this morning. But I think we kind of get a mental idea about what the scriptures is saying here. There's a time and a place that we will get if all of our desire and our commitment is that low, that we are willing to live that way, that what we need to do is understand God's will for our life. Amen. And this is really the way of anybody who covers or commits their life with the things of this world, because the most expensive thing in this world is really cheap when it comes to eternity. And if we choose the cheap, then we're going to find ourselves in Isaiah chapter 28 and verse 20. Amen. You try to pull it up and it's short at the bottom, and you cover your feet and it's too short on the top. Amen. And your head hangs off one end, and you pull yourself down and your feet are off of the other end. Amen. Sister Tiffany, I'll kind of pick on Brother Greg a little bit here this morning. He wanted a recliner. Did you ever get your recliner? Kind of so-so. Brother Greg and I have got this problem that we have, and it's called being tall. Amen. And, you know, it's just the way it is. Those two boys are going to have the same problems. He wanted to get a recliner that his feet didn't hang off the end. And I can understand that. I've got a recliner, but I've just gotten used to it, and my feet hang off of it. They're supported all right, and it's nice and soft, but it would be nice not to have your feet sticking out there. And it's hard for me to find one of those coverings, you know, that you put on your sheets. And, you know, after this morning, somebody's going to ask you, what did the pastor talk about today? And you're going to tell me he talked about beds. Amen. But it's hard for me to find something that I can wrap around my feet, and it comes up and up to my nose or my head where I can really wrap myself in it. Some of you don't know what I'm talking about because you're just too short. Amen. That's just the reality of it here this morning. But some of us, you've fallen short. Amen. No, really, us taller ones have fallen short. And we just wrestle. Have you ever wrestled through the night? Has anybody ever wrestled through the night? And you turn on your left side and it's not comfortable. Turn on your right side and you're comfortable for about 10 seconds. And then you roll over onto your back, and that's okay for a minute or two, and it goes on and on all night. Amen. Some of you might look like that this morning. I looked in the mirror this morning. I thought, dear Lord, did I have that bad of a night? Amen. But it happens sometimes, and the truth of it is if we live our life committed to that kind of thing, you know, it's kind of like the person that didn't turn the heat on in the winter and they ate cold oatmeal. I heard a story of a lady that was like that, and she passed away. And when they went into her house, there was hundreds of thousands of dollars. She never spent anything on anything. And when it was all said and done, there was nothing gained at all. Amen. Continually probably hungry and cold and lacking and needing. Well, what the scripture is trying to tell us here is that the things of this life are like a bed that is too short, and sheets and covers that won't do the job that you need them to do. Amen. And what a way to get a good night's sleep. I'll tell you, I found there's a good way. Somebody told me one time, said, well, I got myself a pull-behind camper, about a 30-foot pull-behind camper. And I said, man, that's not for me. Amen. Setting up and tearing down, and you got to cook your meals, you got to make the bed, you got to clean it and all that. And for what it costs for one of those things, you know, I've seen people in $1 million mobile home, or motor home rather, and parked in a Walmart parking lot somewhere, and, you know, probably worried if somebody's going to break in and rob them. And I said, for the cost of one of those things, we can sleep in a nice hotel, and our feet won't hang off the end, and I've got enough sheets and it's comfortable. And when I wake up in the morning, amen, I've had a good night's rest. Praise God. Because one of these days, folks, we're going to wake up in the morning time. We're going to wake up to eternity. And I cannot tell you when that's going to happen or how it's going to happen. But we hear about the young that pass from this life. And we hear about the old that pass from this life. And those that are very sick that we think that they may pass from this life soon. It is the stark reality of where we are. You might be frustrated by it, but it's not going to change. Amen. It's not going to change. It's going to remain the same. Somebody said amen. Amen. Praise God. I don't want my life to be a cheap hotel room. Praise God. I don't want my life to be something that's too short and sway back and all of that. I'd rather commit more of my money to the luxury of something that is better. Amen. And that means you've got to pay the price and get a comfortable night's rest. Praise God. I've stayed in hotels where it was $10 a night. I remember staying in one, and it was $10 for the night. I cannot even remember where it was at, but it had a little nightstand, a little bitty table beside the bed, and on that was a lamp, and there was it's supposed to be a doily underneath the lamp. It was just a piece of the paper that you roll out that you wipe your countertop on. That was the doily underneath the camera, underneath the lamp. I'll get it together here this morning. I'm kind of on a short bed here today. And in the middle of the night, there was other people that liked that $10 price. And I think it was probably the Hell's Angels. And is something along that lines. All these motorcycles, I'm not against motorcycles, they're brooding, and it's one of those hotels where the door's right there by the outside, and it's not a hallway and an elevator. It's just a one-story situation. And I don't remember the outcome of that. I was probably young enough that I could sleep through just about anything. Amen. But I'll tell you what, if I had to do that today, I think I'd rather sleep in the car. Praise God. And it all comes down to commitment. Amen. It all comes down to what we want to cover our life with and what we put our trust and hope and confidence in. Amen. The commitments that you make are going to determine your future. Amen. Nothing ever just works out works out for the good. You've got to make commitments in your life. And in the good times, you've made that commitment. In the bad times, you've made that commitment. Nothing in this life just works out by itself. Amen. But I will tell you this, that if you commit your life to God and you put your whole life in the hand of God, somebody ought to say amen. Amen. Put your life into the hand of God. You're not going to understand every day that goes by and what happens. It's not always going to be a bed of roses. But I'll tell you, I found that a bad day in the church is better than a good day in the world. Kind of like somebody said, a bad day of fishing is a better day is better than a good day at work. Amen. I don't know about that, but some people say that. I'm glad I'm in the church this morning. I'm glad the Lord called me. And somewhere in the deep recesses of my soul, there was a desire, as it is with every one of us here this morning, a desire to commit your life to something. Amen. And you will commit your works. Committing your works unto the Lord is something that's very important. I found that when you commit your works to God, the works being the things that you do, amen, the follow through, it's like someone that wants to start a business and you cover your thoughts and your mind with this desire that you have in your heart, but then you don't get out and do anything about it. You don't, if you're going to sell a product, you don't go out and try to sell the product. You just say, well, you know, I've got it here at the house. If they want it, they can come and get it. Well, you might as well just hang it up because it's not going to work. Amen. There's got to be works along with your commitment and your covering this morning. Praise God. I hope I'm making sense here today. Because I've learned over the years that there's nothing that is solid outside of the kingdom of God. Amen. Nothing is going to outlast the kingdom of God. There is nothing greater than making a commitment to the Lord and doing the will of God in your life. Luke chapter 12 and verse 16, the Lord gave us a parable here, and I think because it's very important that we understand it. Luke 12 and verse 16, he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. All right, so in that day, it was not necessarily manufacturing, it was agriculture. Everybody had a piece of land, and they grew their crops so they could eat, and that was the main theme of everything. Now, in our generation today, you could say the business of a certain man brought forth plentifully. And so if we use the old way of thinking or our modern way of thinking, it plays out the same in both ways. How did the ground bring forth plentifully? Well, there was work that was done on his part. He had to do some planting. He probably had to do some cultivating. And there were obviously years that he didn't have a good crop. But this man had made a commitment. This man had covered his life with his farm. He loved it. He loved the smell of the soil as it was being turned over by the plow. And I know about that. I've lived on a farm and plowed the ground. And I've always loved the farm. There was something about it, and I always wanted to get my own farm. And when I gave my life to God, actually the day came when I had to tell the Lord, Lord, if you never give me a farm, I'll serve you all the days of my life. Now, that may sound a little corny to some of you, but all of us are going to come to that place in our life where the thing that we think we love the most is set on one side of the scale and a commitment to God on the other side of the scale, and one of them is going to win out. Amen. And over here you could put 1,000 or 1,000,000 things that we can give our lives to, and there's just so many. But the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. Here we have a parable of a man's life. And good times happened. And I'll tell you how it happened. It happened by hard work. It happened by discipline. And it happened by a real, genuine commitment that this man made to this endeavor that he was in. And if you please, he covered his farm, amen, with his life. His life was his farm was the life. It was his future. It was everything to him. He went down to the co-op and hung out with the other farmers, and they talked business. He got probably periodical magazines about farming and Googled it out and checked it out on the internet and tried to stay up on what was going on in the area of agriculture. And the Bible says that good times came. What he didn't realize was, yes, it was his hard work and it was his commitment, but even more than that, it was the grace of God that came upon him. Because I've seen those that have labored very hard to accomplish something, and when it was all said and done, it didn't work out. So hard work and all of that is not necessarily a promise of success in whatever you want to do. Praise God. And he didn't realize that it was the Lord, it was the grace of God that brought the rain. Amen. And in those days, they didn't have, those canals where the water comes through. I pastored in New Mexico, and they gave some land to the Navajo Indians when they defeated them, and it was in that particular area, and it's basically all desert. And it was really unfair what they did to the Indians there. And so they decided, instead of living out here on nothing, sand and dirt, we're going to build a canal and we're going to divert some of the water off of the Colorado River. And you can go down there today and there are fields of alfalfa that they raise and sell. Fields of onions and fields of all kinds of things that they grow in the desert, and it's because they had to commit themselves to something that was going to last. It works for them, but it doesn't always work for everybody. Amen. You come to America, you have the pursuit of happiness. There's nothing in our Constitution that guarantees happiness. Well, praise the Lord. There's nothing, in the Constitution, it says we have the freedom of speech, right? But it doesn't guarantee that anybody's going to listen to you. Praise the Lord. Doesn't guarantee anything. It just gives you the opportunity. And so this morning, this man, he forgot or maybe didn't understand that all the good times were from the Lord. And so he got this great crop coming in. Verse 17, it goes a little bit further. Luke 12:17. All right, the ground brought forth plentifully. And then it says, and he thought. Everybody said, he thought. He thought. And all of a sudden, your thoughts come into play here. He thought within himself. He got to thinking about things. And he said, what am I going to do now? I don't have any room to bestow my fruits, it says. I've got plenty. I've got more. But now his thoughts come into play. And when this happened, his priorities were about to surface and to see where he was really at in his priorities. All he was looking at was the temporary. He was looking at maybe just sitting back and taking it easy, and we'll look at that here in just a minute. But it tells where his priorities were. And did he say within himself, you know, God's been good to me, I'm going to give some of this to the poor? He didn't say that. It's kind of frustrating in some ways, but it tells a beautiful story in another, that some of the richest people in the world are people that give away their money. That's right. I was looking at some things about Warren Buffett, the great investor, multi-billionaire, and his goal is to leave some of the money for his children and then to give all of it away, everything, and to invest it in others and invest it into helping the world. But we know that that won't work either, but there is something in the hearts of some people. He didn't think about that. He didn't think in his mind, I'm going to bless the house of God. He never thought about that. He never said, I'm going to go and make an offering. I'm going to give my tithes to the temple. I'm going to give an offering so that the temple of God can be blessed, because now I've built my new home, my dream home, and I've got enough for the rest of my life. I'm going to bless others with what I have. Praise God. Amen. Don't get quiet on me here this morning. So what am I going to do? Because I have no room to bestow my fruits. I don't have anywhere to put all this stuff. And so he thought about it for a while, verse 18 and 19 of the same scripture. And he said, this I'm going to do. This will I do. I will. Now, notice the places where he says, I will. He said, I will pull down my barns and build greater. I'm going to make bigger barns. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods, and I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take ease, eat, drink, and be merry. So he was talking to his soul, and the soul is the part of us that's going to live forever. Amen. The soul of each of us is going to live forever. And he said, soul, you've got it made. Amen. What we can understand here is that eventually his covering became himself. No more wrestling with life, no more doing without. I'm on easy street now. Amen. Everything's going to be all right. If I need something, I'll just go buy it, or I'll have somebody do it for me. Sometimes that sounds really good. Amen. And I wasn't able to finish my garage for other reasons, and so I had to get some people to come and do it for me. And, you know, I really didn't want to spend any more money than I had to, but it was so nice to just sit there and watch somebody else do the work. And when it was done right, and I was pleased with that. Amen. Had to bring an electrical line out to the garage, and the inspector said it's got to be a trench that's 18 inches deep. And he said, I've got to come out and inspect the trench and measure it to make sure it's 18 inches deep. And there's no way to get a digger in there, and so it had to be done by shovel. And had an electrician come out, and he gave me a price, and he said, we'll do. I said, I could do the ditch. You know, I'm always saying I can do this and I can do that. And my wife said, you are going to do what? 18-inch ditch, 8 feet long. It doesn't sound like much to you young bucks that are here this morning. Amen. But I was willing to give it a try, and he said, I'll dig the ditch. He said, I've got two 26-year-olds working for me. And one of them was about 6'4" and weighed probably 250 pounds. And I said, dig it. Amen. And I was out doing other things and come home and the job was done. Praise God. That's what happens when you got enough money to hire somebody else to do it. And I really didn't have the money, but I had the money, if you know what I'm talking about. That's what I can do. If I need a trench dug, I'll just hire it done. If I need a barn built, I'll just have somebody build that barn for me. Sounds good, doesn't it? Don't have to go to work anymore. Don't even have to go out and till the ground. Just to let it grow up into weeds. I don't care. Amen. I've made it. I've arrived. Everything is cool. And he said, this I'm going to do, pull down my barns, build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits. It wasn't his fruits, and it wasn't his goods. Amen. But it all belonged to God. And he said, I've got much laid up for many years. Take ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Let's have a party. Amen. Some of those folks in the Old Testament, they had parties now. And some of those kings, I think it was the king of Babylon or somewhere in that area, and he had a feast that lasted for 6 months. Can you imagine having a 6-month party? I cannot imagine that. But he had a 6-month party, and they reveled, and they drank, and all of that. And they crossed a line, and that's where the hand was written on the wall there. And that night he perished. But here this man, his mind told him what he needed to commit his life to. Amen. What we need to do is let God tell us what we need to commit our life to. Amen. Because there's one problem here. Like somebody said, everything was going fine until the trouble started. And everything was going fine for this man until the trouble started. And that very night, he got to feeling a little funny in his chest. And it was a pain, and he didn't know what it was. And before the night was out, he had had a massive heart attack and never woke up in the morning. Maybe he felt a little bit dizzy that night and thought, oh, maybe it was a little something that I ate. Maybe I've got a cold coming on. Not realizing that his blood pressure was so high that he was on the verge and went into a massive stroke. And before the morning was here, he was gone. And he said, eat, drink, be merry. Oh, yeah, happy faces on Facebook. Everybody's got happy faces on Facebook. Amen. Oh, there's joy, relaxation, nice surroundings, anything I desire. Praise God. And his mind told him what to commit himself to. Amen. And Jesus goes on here in the parable, and he said, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Amen. He talked to his soul, but he didn't tell his soul the right thing. What we need to do is feed our soul with the preaching of the Word of God. Amen. What we need to do is feed our soul with attendance to the house of God. Amen. Somebody said amen. 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 Because if you don't feed your soul from the kingdom of God, then you're going to feed your soul from the kingdom of this earth and the kingdom of self. Praise the Lord. I hope they're going to be all right over there. I'm not going to go too much longer here, but there's another story I want to look at. Luke chapter 16, same book, the book of Luke chapter 16 and verse 19. Y'all with me here this morning? All right. There was a certain rich man. All right, here we go again. There's another rich man the Bible talks about, which was clothed in purple, that was a expensive garment. Fine linen, that was expensive. He fared sumptuously. What do you mean fared sumptuously every day? That means his kingdom increased daily. He was growing his business, and it was getting very, very profitable. He was a rich man. And then there's another man, and it says, and there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores. All right. So you have a rich man who's living high on the hog, as they say, and you have a poor man, and somebody has to bring him and lay him at the gate. They brought him probably in a sheet, laid him at the gate, hoping that maybe he would get a little bit of change or some money from the rich man. but really, more than that, he wanted something to eat. I don't know what it's like to desire crumbs that fall off of a table. And I don't think any of us here this morning understand that, even though it is a reality in our world. It is a true reality in our world. And this beggar sat at the gate full of sores, and you can just imagine in your mind what he looked like. Sores on his arms and his legs, sores on his face, amen, probably patches of hair that was missing because of this disease that he had. And he was desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, if that's not gross enough, moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. I'm not going to go into detail here this morning. I don't think I have to. But if you were just to look at this situation from somebody looking on, which one of those would you say was successful? Which one of those individuals would you say, or would I say at some point in life, was a successful individual? Most people would say it was the rich man that was successful. He had it together. He's got this. He's got that. He's got charisma. He lives on a good side of town and all of that. Most people would say it was the rich man that was successful. But you know what? This morning we can't really fall back on what everybody thinks we need to be, and the measure of riches and success in our society. We've got to lean on what God thinks. One man covered his life with riches. The other man covered his life with something completely different. The dogs were licking his sores, and probably while he was desiring the crumbs from the rich man's table, he was probably saying, "Oh God, I need you more than anything in all of this world." And that's why Jesus said it's hard for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven, because the poor man is the one that really knows he has a need. Amen. He knows where he's at, but even in our society today, the poor are pretty proud folks. Amen. And it's hard to reach anybody in this generation, it seems like. But the common denominator of both of these men is here. And it came to pass. Everybody said it came to pass. It's going to come to pass. It came to pass for both of these men, and it's going to come to pass for each and every one of us. The beggar died. Everybody said the beggar died. He died of his sores and his emaciated body. And he had been tormented his whole life with sickness and disease. He probably had others tell him or say to him, "Well, if the Lord loved you, he wouldn't allow you to go through this." There would be those that would come along and say, "The blessings of the Lord, that's for those that serve God, are the blessings of the Lord." And I believe that this morning, but that's not the case with everybody. Amen. There are times when we must, when all of us go through trials and tribulations, but this man went through some severe trials in his life and never escaped them. He never got away from them, and he died. And look what happened. He was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. That's, we could just say he went to heaven. Amen. Now, who's the rich man? Well, it says, the rich man also died. Everybody said the rich man died, and he was buried. One of them went up, and the other one went down. The beggar, it doesn't say anything about the beggar being buried. The Bible said he was carried by the angels into heaven. So he went up, but the other one was buried. He went down. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, and he was a little bit late on this, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. This is what is going to come to pass. And this may be a little bit of a heavy message here this morning, but I just really felt it in my heart, amen, that the Lord is speaking to somebody and saying, give your life to me. Sell out and give it all to me. Amen. And do the work of God. Do the will of God in your life. And I'm here to tell somebody this morning, God will bless you greater than you could ever do on your own. Praise God. And I'm not going to go into the rest of the story. I just wanted to show you that right there. And he said, no, Lazarus can't come over here and help you, and you can't get over to where he's at, and it's hopeless now. You have gone to hell, and Lazarus has gone to heaven. Who was now the successful one? Before, when I asked who was the successful one, we had something in our mind. But now, who is the successful one? Think about that this morning. Which one was the successful one? We would have to say without a doubt that the poor beggar was the successful man. Praise God. Because he had made a commitment to God. Obviously, he had made a commitment to God. The Lord's waiting this morning for somebody to make a commitment to cover your life with the things of God. A few scriptures here this morning before I finish. Psalm chapter 31 and verse 9. Into thy hand I commit my spirit. Everybody said, my spirit. Everybody said, my spirit. My spirit. That's my attitude. That's my drive. That's what I am. That's who I am right there. Into thy hand I commit, I cover my spirit. Psalm 37 and verse 5. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Amen. So not just my spirit, but my way. Scripture says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Amen. I'll commit my way unto the Lord. What does that mean? That means that the things that I would like to do tonight, I'm going to put it aside and be in the house of God. Well, come on, somebody, help me this morning. That means that Wednesday, when I'm tired and whatever, I'm going to lay some things aside and be in the house of God, because I've covered my life with the things of God. I'm not playing with this. I'm not playing with eternity here. And so I must commit my way unto the Lord. And whatever we do, amen, acknowledge him and he shall direct our paths. And another scripture, Proverbs 16 and verse 3, and we read that this morning, commit thy works unto the Lord and thy thoughts shall be established. So we commit our spirit, we commit our way, and we commit our works. Amen. Praise God. You say, well, that's a lot of commitment. Well, it's really not, because you're going to commit to something. You will commit your life to something, and it will become your covering. It will be who you are and what you are and what you do. Amen. Ruth chapter 1, and I finish with this scripture here this morning. Ruth chapter 1, verse 15, and of course, here's this young lady. She's not an Israelite. She has no hope of ever becoming an Israelite. She was in another country completely, and I can't go into all that. I don't have time this morning. But she comes, she runs into this lady named Naomi. Naomi's got a couple of sons, and they fall in love. One of the sons and this lady fall in love. The other son falls in love with another lady, and both of these boys get married. And Scripture says that her husband died, her boys died, and all she had left was her daughters-in-law. And she said, "You're young, go back to your home, remarry, build something out of your life." And one of them, I think her name was Orpah, she listened to her mother-in-law and she went back home to build her own life. But Ruth decided that she was going to cover her life with something else. And when I read this think about this here this morning, think about, is she losing here? Is she giving her life away? Is she giving her future away? Is this really the wisest thing for this young girl to do? Ruth chapter 1, verse 15, and she said, this is Naomi speaking, "Thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law." And here's what Ruth said to her, "Entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee, for whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me." Now think about those words this morning. She literally gave her life away. Think about that for just a moment. She gave her life away, and she said, "I'm not my own anymore. I'm going to go with you to a strange land, to a people that I don't know anything about, but I'm here because I love you, and I want to cover my life with this." Amen. It's really a beautiful story because Ruth went back and a young man fell in love with her. His name was Boaz. We've got Boaz here this morning, and he's probably going to find him a good-looking young lady someday. And we'll all say, "Oh, Lord, help us." But Ruth, being a Moabite, these are people that were against God. They had many, many gods that they served that were not the true God. And here she is, a Moabite, in the land of Israel. They're enemies with each other. And God works it all out. So she is married to this man. And the genealogies in the Scriptures lead us all the way to Jesus Christ. Well, praise God. You know what? It pays to cover your life with something valuable. Can we stand together this morning? It pays to give your life to something valuable. And what we have to develop is a sense of value. What is something worth? One grocery store manager called all of the employees in, and this is back when they used to put the, you know, the price on there. I worked at Dillon's. It was my first job, and we had one of these things. You go like that, and it puts 25 cents or whatever it is on there. We had to change it, and we were, you know, we'd do that, and then we'd put them on the shelf. And there was a particular item. I don't know which one it was, but the price was way, way too low for this item. And the manager called him in and said, "Whatever it says on the paper, if it doesn't look right, then don't just go ahead and put that on there. Make sure you're doing the right price." And he said, "What you've got to do is you have to develop a sense of value. Is this really worth that much? Is this worth more than what I'm putting on here?" And we have to develop a sense of value. You know where we are this morning? We're in a very valuable place. Amen. The Bible says it's the gate to heaven. Amen. And the gates of hell are going to come against the gates of heaven, but they will not prevail. They will not prevail. Amen. Have you really given your life to God? I know it's quiet in here this morning. We don't have the music and all of that to get us all emotional and everything. But if you'll get the Word of God down in your heart this morning, and you'll say, I see this now. It's something valuable. I'm going to give my life to you. I'm going to do the will of God. I'm going to serve God all the days of my life. Friend, you'll never, ever regret it. Come on, let's pray. Somebody lift your voice with me, and let's pray together. Oh God, we need you right now. God, we need your presence. We need your touch. Lord, we need you to help us, to give us wisdom and understanding. In Jesus' name this morning, Lord, speak to each of us. Help us right now. By the blood of Jesus Christ, touch us right now.